But I want to think about celebrating Christmas. You know, we're 3 weeks away or two and a half weeks away from Christmas. And it for me, I kind of, it's like eggnog, you know. I don't want to drink it until after Thanksgiving. And I don't know, I don't want to think about Christmas too soon because you get overwhelmed. But I'm thinking, there's some really great stuff that we need to think about Christmas in order to keep us focused on what's important and what's right. I think about anticipation of gifts, you know, or a promise that you had, something that you anticipated in. Maybe it was a parent promised you to go to Disneyland, you know, or promised to go on a camping trip. Or maybe it was just a night out. I remember I was talking to somebody recently who just took their daughter on a daddy-daughter date. And I said, I used to do that too. I said, that was such great memories. And we only did it probably only about five times. I wish it was more regular than that. But we did about five times. And my daughter still talks about us, the dates we went on. You know, those things you talk about, anticipation, those things you look forward to. Our anticipation of someone's promise is based on their history, right? It's kind of like, if you came through here, I know that you're going to come through here. You know, as I think about celebrating Christmas, we're really celebrating God's promise keeping. Do you realize that God made his first promise back in Genesis? After talking to Satan and Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered the world, God said this to Satan. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. I will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And now that sounds really cryptic, right? We talk about, if you heard that back in Adam and Eve, it's like, what is he talking about? Really, that was God's first promise to mankind. It says, I'm going to deal with this one final way. And you're thinking, what is that going to look like? When you talk about crushing somebody's head, really is the end of somebody, the end of what they know, the end of life, the end of their ability to ever impact anybody else. God's first promise was to declare that Satan would forever be removed from the picture. I think sometimes, anybody here like to wait for things? I'm terrible about waiting. When I need something, I want to go out and buy it. And some of you don't allow people to give you gifts because you go out and buy it yourself. I'm one of those people. And I because you don't need it a month from now, because then you don't need it. If you need something, you need it now. And as you think about waiting for gifts, waiting for God's promise to take place for something that we need now, we need God's redemption now, it took forever. But God was a promise keeper. When we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate that God keeps his word. Not only that, we celebrate Christmas. When we celebrate hope being realized. There's a hope that we have. You know, I think about Christmas as kind of like, it's just really unfair expectation. As a kid, it's one of those original things where Christmas, your expectations were like up here, right? You thought that when Christmas morning came, your dreams were going to be realized. Every hope that you had, every single gift, it was just going to be amazing. And I don't know about you, but I know when I opened all those gifts, it was so disappointing because the anticipation of it was so much greater than all the gifts I opened up. It's like all those packages. I talk about hope deferred, hope being realized. I think about Proverbs when it says, next one on for me. I think there's a next one. One more. There we go. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. We talk about those things that if we don't ever have our hope fulfilled, you get disappointed, you get discouraged, you get depressed even. And think about God made this promise and to see it take place. There's a story in the book of Genesis about this man named Abraham and his wife Sarah. When he was 75 years old, when his wife was 65 years old, God comes to them and gives them a promise. Says, I'm going to make a nation out of you. And what an incredible, crazy promise, right? These guys, Abraham and Sarah, had no kids. And yet God's telling them, you're going to have kids. And so they're kind of getting excited. Well, you know, 75, you know, I got some moves left, man. Sarah, get ready. And she's, honey, stop that. Stop that. You know, just like, what's going on? So they receive this promise. And so I'm thinking that not only is their hope deferred, but they have no hope. And yet God comes into the middle of their hopeless situation and says, I'm going to make a nation out of you. And I don't know all the theology of it. I totally understand it. But I know that Abraham and Sarah said, we believe you. Because it says Abraham was credited with righteousness because he believed God. But I still think there was something broken about his understanding of the hugeness of who God was. Because Sarah and him scheme together and say, hey, Sarah says, this ain't going to happen, honey. You know, you take my maidservant, Hagar, and you have a kid with her. And he says, that's how this is going to happen. I think about all those plans that God makes his promises, and we figure out a way that we're going to make it come true. When we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating that God is the God of hope giving. When they were 99 and 89, God comes and says, hey, this son Ishmael that you had with Hagar, that's not what I was talking about. What does he say? He says in Genesis 17, he says, yes, but your wife, Sarah, she's the one I'm talking about. She will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant. His descendants and his descendants after him. We're talking about that deferred hope. How many years was that since they first received the promise? Right? 24 years later. And God says, no, that ain't it. I'm going to fulfill the hope that you've been hoping for you to have a child. I love in their acknowledgement, 25 years after that promise, Genesis 21, coming up pretty soon. Next one, there we go. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and I have to look around the corner, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. I'm not talking about, isn't that like a little long? You know, A, why didn't I catch them when they're like 35? You know, I think about it as I take care of my grandkids. I'm thinking, this is a young person's game. I'm exhausted. It's like, I got to take a nap when they leave the house. You know, and not only that, as you become a grandparent, it doesn't go like from 10 down to 1. It goes 1 and then 2, and we're up to 3. And we kind of have to gear up. And Jackie says, man, I remember now why God doesn't, you know, unless you have twins or triplets, whatever, he gives you one at a time because you kind of got to gear up to it. And my daughter-in-law just dropped her two kids off, and it was like, boom, you know, they're all there. I'm just thinking, Abraham and Sarah, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. It's like, I'm sure God not only gave her strength to have kids, but gave them strength to be great parents to little kids, to their infant, to their son Isaac. And some of you may know Isaac's name. What does it mean? Laughter. Laughter. Why? Because it was like the joke, right? Sarah laughed in her tent, saying, are you kidding me? It's like, you know, I'm thinking it was like possible maybe at 65, but now I'm, you know, 80 or 90 years old. You're going to do this, Lord? Laughter. Isaac. From him, the heritage, who we sang about and heard about this morning, whom Jesus came in that lineage. Not only do we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate God's promise keeping. We celebrate that he is the giver of hope. Deferred, that the realization, all those things that you hope for. Do you guys still have hope? I don't care how old you are. We all still have hope. Hope that things are made right. We can know that because God's a promise keeper. The hope that we have in our heart, God is going to realize in our lives. As we celebrate Christmas, we also celebrate a Christmas miracle. A Christmas miracle. God continued to paint a picture of what his promise was going to look like. When he had his prophet Isaiah write these words, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. I mean, who does that? Who has a virgin give birth to a kid, to a child? I mean, how ridiculous that is. Why would God do something so ridiculous to that? Why not just make a full-grown Jesus drop into the world? Why? God wanted to make it, first of all, undeniable that God was involved in this. That this Christmas miracle was from him. And that he would choose to be God with us, not God far from us, not God looking down on us, but God with us, and to come into this world so that he would understand from ground zero what a difficult place that we live in. From being a child, and Jackie and I, as we talked yesterday, we were just trying to imagine, you know, just Jesus' life. What was it about Jesus that was different than any other kid? You just can't even imagine. You know, it's like, it to be a baby, a child, a young man without sin, that so much so that when Jesus is 30 years old and getting ready to start his ministry, that his mom, you know the story, he's at the wedding and there's run out of wine, and his mom says, "Go see Jesus, just do what he says." That comes from a life lived with problem solving, with looking at things with new eyes. I mean, I can't imagine. In fact, that was his first miracle, so it wasn't like he did miracles and did, you know, scores with the soccer ball, you know, in real moves, could fly through the air from midcourt and dunk the basketball, because he says that was his first miracle. But there was something about his character that Mary, that his mom said, "I know Jesus will handle this." The Christmas miracle, birth of a baby from a virgin. Who does that? A fulfillment. God wanted to make sure we knew that his promise was a miracle, that it really was God with us. God isn't far away. It's just something we can't imagine. But back, even Moses had to go see God on the mountain and wait for God to speak. God spoke to him out of a bush. But the Christmas miracle is that God is with us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ of our Savior, he gives us his Holy Spirit that we can walk and talk and enjoy that relationship 24/7. It's an amazing thing that we get to experience that kind of relationship that Adam and Eve have. And they walked in the cool of the day and had relationship with God. As I reflect on it, it's like, man, I got to remember this. And you guys do that, you're reading the Bible, you hear something, it's like, I got to remember this. God with us, the Christmas miracle that came. I just pray as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate what Eric shared about, an opportunity to put our faith in Jesus Christ and have that peace that God gives, not peace as the world gives, to have an eternity that gets changed as you celebrate Christmas. As I celebrate Christmas, we remember that God is a promise keeper. That hope that you have for how things will be, God will deliver on. That God is the originator, version 1.0 of a Christmas miracle. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are the God of miracles. Lord, we want to celebrate Christmas. Lord, that you, God, you are true to your promises. No how far-fetched, no how long, nor how long it takes gets in the way of you keeping your promise. your promise to redeem, your promise to bring peace, your promise to bring new life, your promise to transform our mind and our heart, your promise to restore, your promise to provide, your promise, Lord, to save us from death. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. We celebrate Christmas because you're the one who fulfills our hope, fulfills our longing. Lord, there's a piece of it that we get to experience now, and there's a piece of it that we get to look forward to in the future. Lord, we thank you for your deliverance of us, Lord, and that virgin birth that was a realization of Emmanuel, God.